Sally and I have been doing a lot of extra walking lately, and we, on Saturday, came across a handwritten sign on someone's front porch in the ward on Ferguson Street or Avenue, whatever. This is what it said. Well, it's what we hope it says. Oh, there we are. That's what it says. If the only prayer you ever say in your whole life is thank you, that would suffice. Somebody had that on their front porch. Pretty amazing quote, isn't it? It's from Meister Eckhart. Meister Eckhart, we'll talk about it in a second. If the only prayer you ever say in your whole life is thank you, that would suffice. What do you make of those words? Do they ring true for you? Those words connected with me in a way that I can't quite explain to you. I could feel it, my heart leap for joy on the inside. My lips quietly were saying outwardly, yes, yes. You sometimes hear the saying, an attitude of gratitude, developing a mindset of mindful practice, which promotes a conscious, consistent approach to life, an approach that appreciates all that life has to offer, the good, of course, and even the bad. And there's a lot of truth in that for me, but attitude of gratitude often sounds like a platitude. An attitude of gratitude can be a platitude. And sometimes it doesn't run very deep in my estimation, not in the way I think Master Eckhart's words do. If the only prayer you ever say in your whole life is thank you, that would suffice. That seems deeper to me. Meister Eckhart was a medieval Roman Catholic priest, a theologian, a philosopher. He was a Dominican. That means he was a monk, a person committed to the daily practice of prayer and contemplation. This was someone who had committed himself to long periods of prayer. In a sense, you might say he studied prayer. He knew, with respect to prayer, what he was talking about. His words come from a lifelong commitment to prayer and meditation with God. So when Eckhart says, if the only prayer you ever say in your whole life is thank you, that would suffice. When he says those words, he knows what he speaks of. There is only one prayer we need to say in life, one prayer we may say we must say in life, and that is thank you. It's pretty simple, isn't it? If you have one lesson today to do when you leave here, it's to say thank you. About 10,000 times, really. But it's only got two words, so you can't possibly forget it. Thank you. Normally when we say thank you, it involves another person. It's because someone has done something nice for you that you say thank you to them. Someone has blessed you in some way. Someone maybe opened a door for you when your arms were full of stuff. Or maybe someone came to visit you when you were sick, if you told them about it. But they might have come and visited you when you were sick. Maybe they showed you how to do something that you didn't know how to do. You were struggling with it, and they came and sat beside you and showed you how to do it. Maybe they baked you a batch of cookies for no reason. Someone did that for me this week for no reason. Just gave me a batch of cookies. Chocolate chip. Maybe someone gave you an unforeseen compliment. Surprised you with an act of considerable generosity, walked the extra mile for you in some situation in your life. In these kinds of moments, we especially feel that true sense of gratitude. In these moments, especially in these moments, we want to say thank you. Thank you for your generosity. As I was walking along Ferguson Street, and the only person in the church that knows where that is Paul, but you know where that is. I'm walking along Ferguson Street, and we see the sign there, and we look at it and stop for a moment, ponder it. And as we're moving along, I'm taking in those words, you know, if the only prayer you ever say in your whole life is thank you, that would suffice. And I'm kind of ruminating on this. I'm thinking about the amazing quality of this quote, but it does leave a couple of questions open, if you really notice it. Who are we thanking when we pray? And what exactly are we giving thanks for? Bible says that all the complexity of life, every situation, every event, rests ultimately on an infinite love for us. What the Bible calls agape love. Often in life, we don't recognize this infinite love for us. We don't recognize agape love when it touches us. It seems at times remote, maybe even invisible most of the time to us. Perhaps a fanciful or even an impossibility in truth. Only occasionally, if we are really lucky, do we get a real glimpse of that infinite love that lies at the foundation of everything. Maybe occasionally in life we get touched by this infinite love for us and for the world. We've been looking at the articles of faith in the United Church of Canada. We've looked at the article of faith on God, on revelation, on divine purpose, on creation. Last week we looked at sin. Last week's message was a tough message. I will admit that to you. I suspect many of you didn't fully appreciate my message from last week. And I don't blame you for it. I talked about some pretty ugly things last week. Essentially, we took a look at life without love. Looked at life as separate from love. We looked at life especially separate from that infinite or agape love that the Bible talks about. And I know it's not easy to look at life without love. I want to acknowledge that too. The unlove of life is often very ugly to look at. But the problem, though, is if we don't take a hard look at sin, at all the unlife that comes from it, if we don't truly understand what sin is and how it manifests in our lives and our role within it, then we cannot truly grasp the fundamental challenge that each of us faces in life. We can't assess properly the true reality that we find ourselves up against. What is the true challenge of your life today? What is the ultimate challenge of your life today? The Bible says this, that you are trying to live your life separate from that infinite love that undergirds everything. You've decided to go it alone, apart from this agape love. And you're trying your best to live separate from the one who loves you in this perfect way. The Bible says it's actually worse than this. Not only do we try to live separate from this infinite love and the one who loves us with this love, we actually reject this infinite love when it comes to us in our life. This infinite love that everything rests upon, we reject the one who loves us, the one who perfectly loves us. And it's this rejection of infinite love, perfect love, agape love, that has led to all the ugliness in life, in our families, in our communities, in our relationships, and in the world at large. And it's for this reason that we generally don't pray the one and only prayer that's needed. We forget to say thank you. Because we don't know who we're saying it to, and we don't really know why we're saying it. Most of the time, we're oblivious to the reason we might say thank you. We don't even see the blessing most of the time, let alone acknowledge it. We don't even recognize it around us. That wave of blessing that comes from that infinite love that overruns our life. We don't see it. We're too busy consumed with ourselves. We're too busy consumed with ourselves to bother noticing the multitude of blessings that come to us in life. And we live in a world today where people are being trained to be oblivious to the foundational blessing that operates in their life. Today, we're being overtly trained to ignore the infinite perfect love that's being offered to us in every situation, every event of life. We're being trained not to even notice the tangible blessings that come to us from real living people. People's heads today are downward looking. They're focused on a technology that's designed to separate them from their connections with life. We're caught up in the power of the screen. We've become addicted to this screen in satisfying our immediate desire for gratification. And the consequence of this is that people today are more isolated, lonelier, and more depressed than they've ever been. In the United Kingdom, they actually have a minister in the government for loneliness. You know, like they have a minister of finance, and a minister of defense, and a minister of public services. There's a portfolio in the United Kingdom cabinet dedicated to loneliness. There's a minister of loneliness in the United Kingdom's cabinet. So in a world where people have access to the cutting edges of communication technology, people are more isolated, depressed, and lonelier than ever. And people today, I think, find it harder to form real relationships with and real friendships with other people than at any other time in human history. And this is the consequence of sin. We have made our lives about ourselves, and we have made a commitment to try to go it alone, or as close as we possibly can get to it. That's our goal. If we could go it alone completely, we would. It's probably impossible to actually pull off in this life, but if we could pull it off, many would try to get that to that place. But of course, we suffer the full effects of this decision. Now, Kevin, I've got the Article of Six of the Grace of God. This is what the United Church said back in 1925. And this is 100 years ago, so the language is a bit different than we'd use today. But this is what it says. Of the grace of God, we believe that God, out of his great love for the world, has given his only begotten Son to be the Savior of sinners. And in the gospel, freely offers his all-sufficient salvation to all men. We believe also that God, in his own good pleasure, gave to his Son a people, an innumerable multitude chosen in Christ unto holiness, service, and salvation. I have had a few conversations over the last few weeks where we've talked about difficult situations, tragic situations, deeply painful situations, and someone will say to me, can you give me some good news? Can you give me some good news? Maybe you've had that feeling when you've read the newspaper, or you've listened to the news on TV, and finally you're longing, can I hear some good news for once? Something I can celebrate. Well, I've got good news for you today. It's that even though people reject the one who blesses them with perfect love, even though people reject God, even though people like you and me reject God's love for them, people like you and me who've created a pattern of life designed to make us blind to God's presence and to God's love and blessing, God has not given up on us. God has not abandoned us. God will not leave us desolate. God will not desert us. Now understand, it doesn't have to be this way. God could simply walk away from us, leave us to ourselves, grant us our wish to live separately from him, separate from his love. God could allow us to endure the consequences that would come from this choice that we continually make to separate from him and from his love. We could also assume the consequences of committing ourselves to separating from each other and living in the cocoon of our own personal, singular existence. God could leave us in our thankless lives. But God has not chosen to do this. Rather, like a passionate father, like a passionate mother, God will not let us go. God will not let you go. I want you to think about this. God will not let you go. God will not let you fall completely into the choices you make for yourself to live apart from him. That's what this sacrament's about today. It's God's ultimate commitment to stay connected to us even when we try to disconnect from him. Regardless of whether we acknowledge God or not, rather God, regardless of whether we welcome or reject his love for us, whether we pray thank you to God or we forget to say those words, God will not ultimately abandon us to our own choices. And that is the grace of God. That is God's grace. God's grace is God's decision to keep loving us through thick and thin, through the hard choices that we make, especially the hard choices of denying God's love or denying God's companionship. Trying to live apart from that incalculable, boundless, unlimited, endless love that God has for us. God will not allow us ultimately to make that choice irrevocable for ourselves. And it's not just because God loves you. It's because God loves your neighbor. God loves the world that God has made that commitment to us. In fact, God's commitment is so complete, so absolute, so unconditional, so expansive, and so vast that he became one of us in Jesus. God became mortal, vulnerable, frail, tender, in order to restore us into a relationship with himself. That was the goal. That's why Christ came into the world, so God could reestablish that connection with us. So our Father in heaven has initiated the great rescue for you and me and for the whole world. God is going to rescue us from ourselves and from our prophetic creations and choices we make that obstructs his will for our lives, which is love. Of course, I suppose if we want to keep blocking God, then so be it. But for those of you who want to move forward in a new direction, who want to truly live the abundant life that Jesus talks about, that comes from living in the expanse of that infinite love, from knowing that love that lies at the base of everything here and now, the offer begins again to you and to me. You who want the new life and me who want the new life, the true blessing and the true blessing that goes with it. It's yours now, and it only takes a single prayer. Thank you. Now, here are the words that Paul says. I was going to talk a little bit about this, but the service has gotten long, so we're going to stop it here. But I want you to hear what Paul says in these words in Ephesians. Once you were dead because of your disobedience, your commitment to live apart from love. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your determination to live apart from God and your many sins. You used to live in sin. Remember, sin is my claim to my right to myself. My desire to be in charge of my own life. Putting my life under my own management. Firing God and putting me in charge of my life. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil. The devil is that quiet voice with inside of us who tells us that we can be God and we can move into the God position of life. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God, who refuse to allow God in, who are committed to being their own God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature, the patterns of life that we make for ourselves that keeps God out. By our very nature, we are subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. It's actually God's wrath. What is the wrath of God? It's not God hitting you with a lightning bolt. It's God walking away. It's God doing absolutely nothing, sitting on his hands and walking away. You want to live apart from me? You want to live apart from my love? You don't want anything to do with me? You want to fire me? You want to put yourself in my place in your life? Okay, have it your way. That's the wrath of God. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. He restored us to relationship with himself. That's what he did through Jesus. So God can point us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. And then it goes on, I believe. Is that? For it's by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And you can have that life. You are having that life. It's right before you. And the best way to start entering into that life is to say two simple words. Thank you.